listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, you heard the man. It's that time again. Set your cares aside. Let your heart not be troubled. For the next hour, you're invited to our party, and you don't have to bring anything or do anything. Just sit back and relax. We got this. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. Tonight, we take stock of multiple things, not the least of which is that the growth of legalized sports betting continues to make progress throughout the country. Plus, there's some very positive news in our fair city of Las Vegas. Now, this past week revealed a pent-up demand for people who want to bet and for people who still can't wait to travel to Las Vegas. I've got some data for you in a minute. Also, at the end of the hour, we close the show with Mackin on the NBA as we unpack the final episodes of The Last Dance and got some stats. And, oh, by the way, there's news now, all right? Is the NBA about to be a Mickey Mouse League? Well, we'll dive into that. Sports are entertainment, but they're more than that. They are a shared experience. As such, people want to talk about them. So I'm glad you're here. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. As they say in Fran Tarkenton, Minnesota, it's going to be lit. All right, joining us in studio tonight for the whole show, special guest, a gentleman who jumps on with us every so often. He's an author, he's a former columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, and currently a contributor to the Chicago Sun-Times. Say hello again to Rob Misch. Rob, thanks for coming in.
Oh, Bernie, great being back. Thanks, man.
So we're both Las Vegas residents. Finally, some good news. A pretty big handle last weekend, the biggest handle by far since the start of the pandemic. The UFC drew a lot of betting interest, Bundesliga soccer. You had a golf match last week, a NASCAR race, even some table tennis, plus some news this week. Our fair governor indicated that June 4th, barring anything goofy, casinos are going to start to reopen.
Those doors are going to bust down because the thirst is huge, isn't it? From what we saw last weekend when the live sports have started, it's going to be a big day. June 4th will be like July 4th.
I'm in total agreement. I think there's a lot of pent-up demand, and we've seen what the crowds have been like in other states when those casinos have opened. And by the way, Memorial Day weekend, historically, traditionally, is one of the busiest weekends in Las Vegas. It's the kickoff of the summer. The pools are open, all that kind of good stuff. People come in from colder climates. Even this week, there was an uptick in non-casino hotel room bookings for people coming in from California. I drove by Dean Martin Drive. A lot of the parking lots were packed. That's a really good sign.
Great to see. Yeah, we need to get a pulse back, and it's coming back fast.
What we want to see, and let's get into this. Let's not bury this, because I think we actually have some newsworthy topics to talk about among the four majors. Not so much baseball. Not so much the NHL, not so much the NBA, although there is, and we're going to delve into those things. But in the NFL, the ever-ending saga in Dallas between Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, allegedly Dak has been offered a five-year deal, $175 million. Now, he wants a four-year deal. Dallas wants it to be a five-year deal because there are some salary cap machinations where they can manipulate money. But Rob, the minute we talked about that pre-show, you look like you had just swallowed a bad pizza in Chicago from Pizza Hut 20 years ago. You are dead set against Jerry making his move.
I'm dead set against Dak making that move. I think it's smart for him to turn them down. I think if he takes a franchise tag this year, makes a bundle, and moves on, that can be the best thing he can do, because the less time he spends working for Mike McCarthy, the better. As someone who owns four framed pieces of Packers stock, I was so happy to see him move along. And he is sackless. He is gutless. That came home to roost for me on January 16, 2016 at Arizona in the playoffs. A bomb by Rodgers gets him to the 50. A bomb by Rodgers gets him in the end zone. An incredible last-second comeback. And what do they do? They kicked the PAT and go into OT. They could have gone for two, and I don't even care if you miss it. If you go for it or miss it, just get out of that building. You're playing with house money. He decided to kick the PAT. They go into overtime. They quickly lose. So I was so happy the McCarthy era ended. Dak can do the best by himself by just moving on after the year. They've got a backup now in Mr. Dalton. If Dak moves on, he will avoid the notorious label that Tony Romo now owns. In his career, Tony Romo was 2-4 in the playoffs. 2-4, Bernie. That means he got $21.7 million per playoff start. That is third on my chart of recent quarterbacks just ripping off money from their organizations. I think if Dak stays there, he's going to become Romo 2, and the system will be, like I said, gutless and sackless, and it'll be the worst thing for his career.
You do realize that Dallas had the number one offense statistically last year. They've added weapons. And I'm a little confused because I thought you were going to go a different direction there. Look, Dak is 40-24 as a starter. 97 touchdowns, 36 interceptions. He's proven he can be a major league quarterback. Never won a playoff game. Now, Jerry is, I think, between a rock and a hard place. Has to pay him because he doesn't want to go back to the Quincy Carter, Drew Henson days. But the real question is Dak the kind of quarterback you win with or you win because of? And I'm not so sure. I think it would be a huge mistake for Dak not to stay in Dallas.
I think you're glossing over the major point of this because Mike McCarthy's in that seat right now. Granted, he's a puppet. Everybody who sits in that seat is to Jerry World. But I think it's just going to be a bad combination, bad chemistry. I don't care how much top flight talent they have. I think McCarthy is just horrible in his schemes, in his strategy, and I think it would be bad for Dak, and hopefully he moves on if I'm thinking about his best side.
Now, my buddy Joe just texted me with a very good question. I'm going to give him credit. Who else would be lining up to offer Dak 5 years at an average $35 million per year? Seriously, who else out there?
That's a great question. I don't know. Maybe Dak knows something we don't.
Now, I do. Look, I find this whole ordeal interesting because we haven't even mentioned the fact that Jerry signed Andy Dalton. And I wouldn't poo-poo Andy Dalton because he's one of just six quarterbacks in the NFL to accomplish the following since 2011. 30,000 passing yards, 200 passing touchdowns, and 70 wins. The other five quarterbacks to do it, they've all been to a Super Bowl. And four of the five have won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan almost won a Super Bowl. Andy Dalton's in pretty good company. So if Dak were to falter, Andy steps in, he's back home in Dallas. No one's really talking about that. And I'm of the belief that the backup quarterback in the NFL has always been an important position.
Yep.
Ask the 72 Dolphins. They won with Earl Morrill after Bob Greasy went down in week six just a couple of years ago. Carson Wentz goes down. Nick Foles comes in. Last year, Teddy Bridgewater kept the seat warm for 5 weeks when Drew Brees was out. That was critical. That helped get New Orleans into the playoffs. I'm a little baffled that you're taking Dak's side in this and want him the hell out of there when he's got all this cheese staring him in the face.
I'm just thinking of his best side. I'm such a McCarthy anti-enemy. I think he's awful, and I think that would be the best thing for Dak. I'm just thinking about the kid.
You had some data here about dollars per playoff win and the all-time gold standard, which I think ties into this argument, which I think fortifies my argument that Dak should take the money. Go ahead.
Well, career salary divided by playoff starts. When it comes to numbers, I'm pretty simple. You know, Bernie, there's all kinds of new stats that come out every year. I like to keep it basic and keep it simple. When you're looking at career salary divided by playoff starts, there is nobody better than Tom Brady. $5.7 million for a playoff start. That's awful cheap because number two is Matt Ryan. He's at $22.4 million. He's on the high side. Guess who the number one guy is who was just stealing money from the organization? Matt Ryan is two at $22.4 million per playoff start. Who's number one?
Well, we can't count Dak because he hasn't signed the deal yet.
Right, and we're talking about the last 10 years roughly, so that the dollars for inflation.
You're talking about current players?
Yeah.
I don't know, Matt Stafford?
Easily. $67.9 million per three playoff starts. They are all losses. The next guy is Ryan at $22.4 million, and then the one below that is good old Tony Romo. 2-4 in the playoffs. They paid him $21.7 million per playoff start.
Where would you rate Dak then? Let's assume he signs this deal before July 15th. You'd be a damn fool not to.
I don't know what's going on.
He's got to be on your list near the top.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have a good playoff record. So, you know, and he hasn't made a lot of money so far. So he's kind of almost too young to qualify for this list.
Well, he's had 65 starts in the NFL.
Well, but the money isn't there. He still hasn't, you know, hit the lottery year. So that's coming. You know,
look, he's either going to be franchised like Kirk Cousins was.
Right.
And he'll come out like a bandit, or he's going to get the money. My guess is they're going to find some happy medium before July 15th. Jerry isn't getting any younger. He doesn't want to start over. Now, he does have Andy Dalton sitting there.
Well, and let me ask you this. There's no way Dak sits out in like a pissing contest. And
well,
I actually
thought that was a possibility a couple months ago, but no, I don't see that happening at all. So I honestly give that a zero.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, he signs for the franchise tag 1 year, and then if he follows my advice, he scoots after that and gives me 15% for finder's fee.
You drive a hard bargain. It's going to be interesting to watch. I don't totally subscribe to your theory that Mike McCarthy is going to screw this up. He did have a pretty good record in Green Bay. He does have a good track record for working with young quarterbacks. But I do agree with you. Sometimes some of his in-game decisions, and he was conservative, I think he did wear out his welcome there in Green Bay.
They were good in spite of him because Rodgers was so accurate. The Super Bowl he won, if you look back at that tape in slow-mo, he got some passes in there just by the nick of a fingernail. They won that, I say, despite McCarthy. I bet... I don't want to go too out on a limb now. I say the Cowboys are 8-8 or worse this year.
Really?
Because of McCarthy. Yes.
You know, that division is ripe for the taking.
Maybe.
Washington, Philadelphia, the New York Giants. If Dallas, oh my goodness gracious, you just gave Jerry Jones a stroke.
I hope he's listening.
And on that note, well, I hope everybody around the country is listening, which I know they are, because time marches on, and we've got an update for you on the various states getting ready to go live with legalized sports gambling, who's already done it, who's on deck, who's in the hole, and some of the things surrounding that. And the beauty of it is eventually these sports are going to be able to return, and you're going to be able to get down on these games, which might all be coming fast and furious at once. Get your free credit scorecard today. Even if you're not a Discover customer, to include your FICO credit score and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. He's Rob Mischein, Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted. So don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas! The great Bernie Fratto, folks.
We're back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Rob, one of the things we do each time you are in, you've got your finger very much on the pulse nationwide. We've just crossed the two-year anniversary of the overturning of PAPSA. And there are states that are on board, that have been on board. There are states that are coming up and states just behind them.
This thing is steamrolling. That was something else. 2 years. Did that not go fast? We now have 18 states that have some form of legalized sports betting. 4 are on deck and 17 are in the hole. There's some caveats there. For instance, as soon as we got sports up and running again, as soon as that happens in the next few weeks or month or whenever that kicks in, it appears that the app in D.C. is going to go live. So they've taken a long time to get their act together. Apparently, it is together. And they will become the 19th jurisdiction with pro sports betting and legalized sports betting. Of those 17 that are in the hole, you have Louisiana and Maryland who are in there. So look for them. And as far as the 4 that are on deck with D.C., look for them to come online fast. And then you got Washington State, North Carolina, and Tennessee. They've been legalized. They just need to get their act together. So it appears conservatively, Bernie, that maybe in about 2 years or so, there's going to be about 39 states with some form of legalized sports betting. Jay Cornegay at the Westgate told me he thinks that'll be between 40 and 43. Conservative estimate is 39. That's 80% of the country.
There are some states, though, like Utah, I don't think that will ever happen. Never. Is that fair? I mean, never. I don't think
it's
we'll ever have
that they won't.
It's just a there are, you know, a handful of states, and I've got them in my other notes. We've talked about this in past weeks. Talk about Virginia. It's my understanding that they should be ready to go by the 2020 NFL season. The bill was sitting on Governor Ralph Northam's desk, and the only reason he didn't sign it, or maybe has signed it now, was because it didn't have NASCAR on it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So are you put them on deck or in the hole category?
They're in the hole, but a lot of this has some gray areas. Because while that is about to go down, it won't become effective until July 1. You have the different categories of when it becomes legal and when it launches. Those are the two L words. It'll become legal July 1, but they won't exactly be ready to launch. I doubt it, unless they're really taking care of stuff behind the scenes, and I don't think they are. So it becomes legal July 1, and then it's a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
I understand Maryland, they're already on the November ballot, so even if they legalize sports betting in November, it'll probably take a few more months for the state to accepting bets. I guess they're going to be ready to go in 2021. Is that fair, Maryland?
Yeah, and I think Louisiana is right there, too. They have a bill that passed the House. It has to pass the Senate. And then there's two more legs that have to go through both of those mechanics to get on the November ballot. It looks like it will be on the November ballot in Louisiana. So all you LSU fans and Saints fans, you got something to look forward to probably pretty soon, maybe early next year.
And I understand Massachusetts, they're already under consideration by their state legislature, and New Hampshire's breathing down their neck. Could they get something done in 2020?
They could, and if they're smart, like we have talked about so many times, they're politicos, they get out here, they talk to Jay Cornegay, they go behind the counter, and they see how it is done, and they monitor how Vegas polices itself. Because when you do that, you are setting yourself up for success, you're inviting private industry, and it's nothing but a win-win for the customers in the state. New Jersey has done that. Indiana has done that. Caesars just went online this week in Indiana. Pennsylvania came around about a year ago with their mobile betting. And then Colorado may be the model of all this, because the battle for turf, for customers, is going to do nothing but benefit the customers. The key to Colorado being that's something Jay Cornegay is involved with. So if he's involved with it, it's going to be done right.
You know, you mentioned Indiana and Pennsylvania, and I'll throw in Michigan. Ohio, they're surrounded by states that have legalized sports betting. They appear poised to jump into the fray. They're also under consideration by their legislature, but I understand they have two different bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, and they both call for mobile wagering, but both have different language having to do with regulations. Will Ohio be able to get out of its own way? That is such a huge sports state with the great college teams.
Big time.
And, you know, Major League Baseball, right on down the line.
Oh, you said it. You know, they come up with wordings and bills, contradicts themselves and makes them look stupid, like they haven't done any homework, because they haven't done any homework. If they could just look at states that have done this right and states that have muddled it up, like if you look at Illinois, you're going to get nothing but headaches. You look at Montana, Bernie, oh my God, they got out of the gates offering, they had one bet. It was minus 18 one side, minus 133 the other. Now, you just do the simple math, and you know that's the House looking out for itself and the state wanting some benefits. And if you're the customer sitting in Montana wanting to make a bet, you're going to go with Uncle Nate. You're going to go with something offshore. You're not going to give these clowns your business.
The state that baffles me is New York, all right? I think they opened up one brick and mortar up in Schenectady, but something is wrong there. Look across the bridge to New Jersey, where they're killing it. They're doing a phenomenal job.
Big time.
What is wrong with the leaders, you know, the powers to be in New York?
People in the Empire State are driving down across the bridge so they can be
yes.
on the Jersey side to make their bets, and then they drive back across the bridge. If that doesn't open Cuomo's eyes, but nothing opens Cuomo's eyes. He thinks he is the kingfish dictator, and what he says goes. The fact that he would even try to convince people that mobile betting is unconstitutional. You know, stuff like that kind of has to go before the people. You don't just pound your chest and make that determination. He has made that determination, and he's vowed people to challenge him. And so that's a court battle that I can't believe hasn't happened yet, but look for it.
By the way, Virginia would allow for mobile and in-person betting, but mobile and sports app betting is the wave of the future.
Absolutely.
It's one of the reasons New Jersey has been so successful. As a matter of fact, I forget which month it was, we talked about it on the show, the New Jersey handle actually exceeded the handle here in Nevada 1 month. Now, part of that is because, obviously, they're a state population three times the size of Nevada, but the other part is they're getting action from New York, people driving across the border. I think you might have pointed this out a few months back. New Jersey was one of the states that allowed Las Vegas to consult them on how to do this properly.
Absolutely. One of the smart ones. And obviously a lot of money flowing in there. When they went to mobile, 85% of their handle came from mobile. Smart, smart, smart. Then you have a state like Washington State.
Yeah.
Who is allowing, it appears they're going to allow mobile betting, but only within the brick and mortar confines of a tribal casino. It's like, wait a minute. Well, it defeats the purpose. So they haven't done their homework. They're going to continue not doing their homework, and they're going to look stupid for not doing their homework.
By the way, just switching gears, have you seen Penn Gaming stock? It's gone from 8 to 27 in the last 3 months.
Big time.
And I think in William Hill, which was trading at about 48 cents 2 months ago, it's now about $1.50. Do you not believe when things reopen that these stocks are obviously nationwide sports gambling is really going to stand to create a national handle like nothing we've ever seen?
No question. When sports came off our radar about 2.5 months ago, I know some smart people who were diverting their attention onto the stock market, and specifically those.
I did that.
And you know what? Kudos to every one of you beautiful souls, because that's being bullish on the country.
Well, this is an idea whose time has come. And what I don't understand is when you observe what New Jersey has done, they're living proof that this can be done. They've gotten it, you know, they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's along the way.
Right.
And they allowed Las Vegas to consult them. California, we haven't mentioned them at all. Where do they fit in the mix?
Oh boy, it's murky. I don't know the latest, but I know they were trying to get X amount of signatures to get it on the ballot in November. And with the mayhem of the pandemic, I'm not sure where that stands. But that would be only on tribal casino property.
Do you think they'll legalize gambling in California ever? Sports betting, and
I just
state of 40 million people, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think so, but to take that one step further, I mean, that state should just secede from the union. I mean,
and apply for 4 and 8.
Oh, my God. Just, you know, we can just move the border up on the Nevada, California, and just make them their own country.
But we still want you. California's coming to Vegas. We do. We love having you come in, by the way.
Right.
And maybe they shouldn't legalize gambling there, because we'll take your action here, right?
Exactly.
We can use it. All right, coming up, there's some action tomorrow on a fun little golf event in Florida. But you might not want to put a $50 bill on it. Rob Mitch has a funny story about that very thing, and he wrote about it in the Chicago Sun-Times. But first, well, let's go to the gentleman who hung out with Don King the other night. And yes, it was a hair-raising experience. It's Brian Finley with the latest.
Bernie, if only I had as much hair as he did, that would be certainly a treasured experience. Eddie Sutton, a member of this year's Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class, passed away on Saturday night at 84 years old. The college basketball coach, who is one of only a handful of coaches to eclipse 800 wins, died in Tulsa with his family by his side. Sutton's most notable coaching stops coming at Oklahoma State, Kentucky, and Arkansas. He has 3 Final Four trips to his name. The NBA is zeroing in on Walt Disney's expansive sports complex in Orlando as the host site to finish this season. The 220-acre property has 3 arenas and a plethora of hotel space. The next major step, according to ESPN, comes when the NBA has a Board of Governors meeting this upcoming Friday to drum up specifics on when this plan could all go into place, all the moving parts, and the reports are looking at late July as a fair and attainable time to resume the season. And there seems to be, Bernie, a growing sentiment that this could actually happen, and we're hoping it does. I know you are as well, from the betting angle as well. Back to Bernie Fratto.
Speaking of Orlando, little golf match tomorrow that's going to attract a lot of attention. Tiger, Peyton, Phil, Brady. Are you going to watch it, Brian?
Oh, absolutely, Bernie. Anything live sports, I'll tell you what, I will be watching that. I played golf yesterday. I was playing pretty well, and I'll tell you what, the courses in Los Angeles are booked. You got people out there wearing masks, taking proper precaution, but also getting out there. It's nice to see. It's good for the spirit, you know, and the body morale to get out there and play some.
1,000,000%. Chris Perfett, will you watch the little golf match tomorrow?
I'll watch it. It's Sunday's usually my cool down day from work, and so it's nice to throw that on in the background, just like some summer baseball. Same deal.
Lots of ways to bet it, and there are 33 props. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Chris. Rob, one of the things I like about this match tomorrow is that the creativity having to do with how to bet this match, and let's set this up. You've got, it's called the Match Champions for Charity, featuring Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. They'll tee off about noon Pacific time tomorrow. They raised $10 million for COVID. And Woods and Manning are about 2-1 favorites right now, right. But stands to reason. It's Tiger Woods' home course. He practices there all the time. Mm-hmm. But what I find are the props to be very creative. The first team to go one up. There are 33 props. Who will lead after 9 holes? Will either team win 3 consecutive holes? Will they be tied after 18? Closest to the pin on hole number 4. By the way, on the 5th hole, everybody's only allowed to play the entire time with one club. So, you know, you can pick a 5-iron, 6-iron, whatever, but you got to tee off with it, play in the fairway with it, putt with it. I've seen tournaments like that where you have a club, you know, 3-club, 1-club situation. But on that one hole, that I think that's finally, you know, that's very creative. And the pros happen to like the first team to go one up, Tiger, Peyton, minus 130. They seem to like that bet. I think this will be a lot of fun to watch.
I think so, too. I mean, everybody is just thirsting for live action. Like Brian said, I know the Korean baseball was a hit. Just to be able to see human beings playing baseball was such a novelty. And then the real race cars. So I think just this fits right into that niche and kind of is a little bit of preparing us for what's coming around the corner. And what's coming around the corner in Vegas in a few months, I have friends who are visiting for Kentucky Derby weekend, first Saturday in September.
Right.
It's going to be mayhem. Everything, probably, hopefully,
well, in theory,
going on.
In theory, if everything goes according to plan, you'll be in the throw of the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. We'll have the National Football League. You might even have college football as well. And then, you know, you still got the 4 majors. They're talking about the Masters in November, so all of it's live.
Yep.
And tomorrow it'll be a lot of fun. However, and by the way, give this some perspective, 33 props on a golf match, right?
That's the Westgate?
And the first year they had NFL props for the Super Bowl was 1985.
Yeah.
I think there were a total of 37. Now there's about 600. So they come up with 33 big, huge the Westgate.
Yeah.
Give them a lot of credit. But as I teased earlier, and a story you wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times, you might not want to bet a 50 on any of these props.
Well, actually, it was in Gaming Today. And I write a weekly piece for them and features for Gaming Today. It's available in every sports book in the country. And it says we've especially ramped up our online product the last 2.5 months. So you can go to gamingtoday.com, find everything right there. I saw a note from Roxy Roxborough last fall about something about the $50 bill and the curse.
Now, tell the folks who Roxy Roxborough is.
Michael,
he's got to be about 85 now, right?
Michael Roxy Roxborough is about, let's just say he's in his 70s, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Early 70s.
Every
maybe.
Bit of that.
He is, if there's a, I hate to say Mount Rushmore, but if there's one of those in Vegas, you put six statues up on Mount Charleston, Roxy deserves one of them. He has worn every hat in the city. He founded Las Vegas Sports Consultants. He has bet. He has made odds. He has been involved in the ticket machines, every aspect of sports betting in Vegas. Roxy has been a part of it, and he's just a fantastic human being. Spends half his year in Thailand with his Thai wife. They spend half of that time in Phuket, the other half in Bangkok in the madhouse. He's just real kind to me. He gets back to me at the damnedest of times pretty quick. So I saw a note from him on Twitter in the fall saying, disparaging the $50 bill. And I just filed it away. You know, when you get busy with the sports, you get really focused and time flies. Well, with this dearth of action, I was able to pitch a piece on the $50 bill about a month ago to my editor, and he said, go for it. So I started calling everybody I knew in the world. What do you think about the 50? What is it with the 50? So many of them would come back and say, I don't even have one in my wallet. A buddy of mine in Long Island never knew about it until he was playing roulette about 15 years ago in Vegas with a buddy. He lost all his money. He put a 50 on the felt to get chips, and there was a hush around the roulette table. People almost just turned and ran away. It is that jinxed of a bill. I was able to connect its curse to Ulysses S. Grant, the man who was on the picture of the $50 bill, our 18th president. And just in doing, I really went too deep in this than I should have, Bernie. He is considered the one U.S. president to have declared bankruptcy. That is where the curse of the 50 stems from. Now, he's not the only one of our presidents who knows about empty pockets. Truman was in there. A few others were in there. And in fact, he went in debt by loaning someone $50,000 he didn't have. And this person was in need. A friend needed the money. And so, you know, by all accounts, Ulysses S. Grant was just a fantastic friend. He would literally give you his last $50,000. He did that, and it put him in debt. Now, in all the digging I found, I came up with a nugget where he was invited to Ford's Theater by Abraham Lincoln on that fateful evening. And I thought, well, he obviously didn't make it. They had to decline the invitation. And I thought, here's a president with so much bad luck, yet he has the gumption to turn down the invitation to Ford's Theater on the fateful night. John Wilkes Booth is coming up from the South, and he wants to take out Lincoln and Booth. Booth, just 5 days earlier, had taken General Lee's sword at Appomattox. So Booth was pissed. Booth is riding into town as Ulysses S. Grant and his wife are on a carriage heading out of town. So Booth is riding in, and they pass in the night. And Booth just gets whiplash, like, what the heck? He runs up to Ulysses' carriage, and he peeks in to make sure Ulysses is in there, and he is. So Booth scowled at him. And then he ran down his horse. He had his horse run down the way. He did a 180. And as he was coming back, he took another look at Grant. They made eye contact, and he scowled at him again. And so here I'm thinking, man, this is just an incredible story. He just saved his life by turning down that invitation. Well, it wasn't Ulysses who turned down the invitation. It was his wife, because he'd gotten into a snit fit with Mary Todd Lincoln. So even in that fateful evening, it wasn't Ulysses who made the call. It was his wife.
A man admitted to West Point, a general in the Army for the Union, but don't bet a $50 bill if you're going to bet tomorrow's golf match or anything. For that matter.
It's like garlic to a vampire, I'm told, by the people who matter.
That is good enough for me. Coming up, is the NBA about to be a Mickey Mouse league? Plus, we've got our final takeaways from The Last Dance. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
One of the best in the business, Bernie Fratto.
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Before going any further, I want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley. Great job, as always, guys. Get your free scorecard today, even if you're not a Discover customer. To include your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard won't hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply. All right, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. It's that time of the show, macking on the NBA. McKenzie, we finally have some news of substance,
yep,
if you want to call it that. I jokingly said, is the NBA about to be a Mickey Mouse league? Well, that's right there in Disney territory in Orlando. Are they going to do this?
Well, everybody knows that ABC and Disney own ESPN. I didn't know they also own TBS and Turner. So they have two gigantic deals that they have to secure by getting the season ended. I mean, getting the season resumpted and then concluded. And here's the thing. Yesterday, or last week, we said there was a glimmer of hope. That has become a blinding beam, Bernie. Just today, NBA released a statement. By the end of July, they expect to work in Disney's complex in Orlando, Disney World, to get the season resumed. Spencer Dinwiddie tweeted about it. One of the Bucks owners tweeted about it. It's no longer if, it's when and how this thing is going to get done.
So I'd be curious to see if they copy the NHL model, if they are able to play any of the remaining regular season games. I think they have some local TV contracts to work out. But the beauty of it is, if they do this and get to the playoffs, they'll salvage about $900 million in revenue. And we'll get to bet on it. And you've even got some thoughts on a best bet.
I do. And how cool is the NHL format, first of all? Just every team.
I think it's clever.
Knock it out. I hope the NBA does have something like that, where the 9th and 10th seeds get a chance to make history. I have a team that I think is going to make history. For the first time in their existence, the Los Angeles Clippers, I don't know if you knew this, they're going to win the Western Conference. I just placed a bet on them, plus 210. I don't mind them at plus 300 to win the whole thing, but I especially like them in the West. Why? I think this layoff, and the Lakers are already talking about it, they're already kind of tamping down expectations. It's bad for older teams. It's hard to get your legs back into that midseason form when you're not a young chicken anymore. LeBron's 35, Danny Green's in his 30s. Both of them went on radio. In LeBron's case, it was his podcast with Richard Jefferson. He said, "My body is not used to that kind of regimen. It's going to be difficult." The Clippers, the exact opposite. Doc Rivers said, "Count on this. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George will be in the best shape of their lives." He wasn't mincing words. I think they're going to be ready to dominate the West.
Well, I like the Clippers, too. They go 10 deep, and they play crazy defense, and I like that coach, guy by the name of Doc Rivers. Been there, done that.
Yep, champion.
We'll see what happens. They all have to get on the floor and make it happen, but I like the Clippers even before any of this COVID-19 stopped the world. So let's just hope, fingers crossed, that it actually comes to fruition and that the model works and there's no, you know, there's no speed bumps.
Yes, for sure. For no other reason, I bet Fez that there was going to be an NBA season. He bet there wasn't. Just so I can win one of these. I got to get, come on, NBA. Do it for the good of my wallet.
The tea leaves suggest that it's far more likely to happen now than not happen. And like I said, they got 900 million reasons. All right. Speaking of championships, finally wrapped up. We had a lot of fun glossing over the Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Near and dear to me. I was back in Detroit when this was going on. I was right there. Look, we all have takeaways, final takeaways from The Last Dance. Let's start with you, Mackenzie.
This is why I think it was a good documentary. And I know the timetable, it kind of disoriented some people, me included. But when they won in 98 and then they started celebrating and Leo's in the locker room, I felt relieved. I felt like, whew, we did it, guys. I felt like I was part of the bandwagon. Even though I've seen him do it, I've seen the last play a million times, I felt viscerally like we won the championship.
I thought it was so entertaining. The timing was perfect. They bumped it up in the production schedule just to feed our hunger. I thought that was fantastic. It was great to get reacquainted with Jordan and all that he meant and all that he did. It was just unbelievable. Was it exactly a true documentary? Well, not really. But I think you take what you can get there. If not for Jordan's green light, we don't get to see it. Yep. But as far as a true documentary, we didn't get to see certain things like, say, the pizza. If that was a true documentary, they would have gone deep on the pizza guy, what happened, what didn't happen. And
I think Sam Smith said it best this week. He said it was based on a true story.
There you go.
It was one of those movies.
Sure, sure. So, but I thought the entertainment quality and the production value was just off the charts.
Unbelievably professional, the quality. Look, you know, people can bag on the fact that it wasn't a documentary in the truest sense, and Jordan narrated it, and perhaps he had the final word on poetic license. I don't care.
Right.
It was incredibly entertaining, and it wasn't revisionist history. You got Scottie Pippen crying, Horace Grant crying. These things happen, and I don't know. The only thing I would say as far as Pippen is that I don't really know why they showed the game in 94 when he didn't go back in the game, because Jordan wasn't even on the team then, had nothing really to do with The Last Dance. But irrespective of that, my takeaway is this, because I've been very fortunate. I got to see Michael Jordan play courtside as a credentialed member of the media, but I also got to see him play as a fan. And Jordan, this is my biggest takeaway, that when Jordan won those championships, he was relieved more than happy. It was always tears. He's a bit of a tortured soul, and you really didn't know that until this Tell this documentary, and I'll tell you why. Because I remember going to games in the mid-80s when I lived in Southern California. I'd go to a nondescript Thursday night game with my buddy Kevin, who happened to be my bookie. And it'd be Thursday night at the sports arena when the Clippers were terrible and they're playing the Bulls and there's 7,000 people in the stands. And Jordan is playing the game with this unmitigated open-ended joy, cajoling with fans, flying dunks, having the time of his life. But when it came down to winning time and crunch time, what that captured in that documentary, and I'm just going to refer to it as a documentary, is how intense Michael Jordan was. And never mention the name Leroy Smith either. Leroy Smith is the name of the guy that made the varsity when Jordan was a sophomore at Laney High School. And I found that out probably about 1996 because the hotel that Jordan stayed at and the Bulls stayed at in Birmingham when they played the Pistons, Jordan checked in under the name Leroy Smith. Bottom line is, we enjoyed it immensely, and I know there's going to be a Brady documentary coming up. Look, unless you're talking about The Godfather 2, I don't think sequels are a great idea. The Lance Armstrong, the whole deal. I'm not even going to go down that road. The Last Dance was immensely enjoyable, and the reason people love it, hate it, whatever, is because they cared enough to watch. Thanks, Rob Mish, for coming in tonight. Thanks, McKenzie, for all you do. Thanks to the guys back in Los Angeles. By the way, I'll be on The Odd Couple with Rob Parker Monday, 4 to 7. Don't miss it. Next up, the man from Nashville who brings it strong. It's time for the Jason Martin Show.
Right out of Vegas!